You're listening to We Were Here. For the next hour, the words of Martin Luther King Jr., the gospel sounds of the SNCC Freedom Singers, the songs of Earl King, Al Green, and Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and the jazz of Wynton Marsalis, a mosaic of black voices from the past and present. We Were Here from PRI, Public Radio International.
Dr. Martin Luther King.
Thank you very kindly, my very dear friends. These churches are really loaded tonight. Never in the history of this nation have so many people been arrested for the cause of freedom and human dignity. You know there are approximately 2,500 people in jail right now. Now let me say this, the thing that we are challenged to do is to keep this movement moving. There is power in unity and there's power in numbers. As long as we keep moving like we are moving, the power structure of Birmingham will have to give in. And we are probably nearer to a solution of this problem than we are able to realize. And don't worry about your children. They are going to be all right. Don't hold them back if they want to go to jail. For they are doing a job for not only themselves, but for all of America and for all mankind. Somewhere we read, a little child shall lead them. Remember, there was another little child, just 12 years old, and he got involved in a discussion back in Jerusalem as his parents moved down the dusty road leading them back to that little village of Nazareth. And when they got back and bothered him and touched him and wanted him to move on at that moment, he said, I must be about my father's business.
All right.
These young people are about their father's business. And they are carving a tunnel of hope through the great mountain of despair. And they will bring to this nation a newness and a genuine quality and an idealism that it so desperately needs. Now we are going to see that they are treated right. Don't worry about that. The Justice Department is already in here. And they don't have some small fish from the Justice Department. They have some of the big fish in here. We are reminding them at all times that these persons are political prisoners. And there's a distinction between a political prisoner and somebody who's there for getting drunk, or somebody who's there for engaging in a robbery. And we're going to see that they are treated right. And go on and not only fill up the jails around here, but just fill up the jails all over the state of Alabama if necessary. Keep this movement going. Keep this movement rolling. In spite of the difficulties, and we're going to have a few more difficulties, keep climbing. Keep moving. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving.
Turn me round, turn me round, turn me round, ain't gonna let nobody, Lordy. Turn me round, keep on a walking, Lordy, keep on a talking, Lordy, marching up the freedom lane. Ain't gonna let segregation, Lordy. Turn me round, turn me round, turn me round, ain't gonna let segregation, Lordy. Turn me round, keep on a walking, yeah, keep on a talking, yeah, marching up to freedom lane. Ain't gonna let no jailhouse, Lordy. Turn me round, turn me round, turn me round, ain't gonna let no jailhouse. Turn me round, keep on a walking, Lord, keep on a talking, Lord, marching up to freedom lane. Ain't gonna let no nervous Nelly, Lordy. Turn me round, turn me round, turn me round, ain't gonna let nervous Nelly, Lordy. Turn me round, keep on a walking, yeah, yeah, keep on a talking, yeah, marching up to freedom lane. Ain't gonna let Chief Petty, Lordy. Turn me round, turn me round, turn me round, ain't gonna let Chief Petty, Lordy. Turn me round, keep on a walking, Lordy, keep on a talking, Lordy, marching up to freedom lane. Ain't gonna let Mayor Kelly, Lordy. Turn me round, turn me round, turn me round, ain't gonna let Mayor Kelly, Lordy. Turn me round, keep on a walking, Lord, keep on a talking, Lord, and marching up to freedom lane. Ain't gonna let no Uncle Tom, Lord, turn me round, turn me round, turn me round, ain't gonna let no Uncle Tom, Lord, turn me round, keep on a walking, yeah, yeah, keep on a talking, yeah, and marching up to freedom lane. Ain't gonna let no. Turn me round, turn me round, turn me round, ain't gonna let nobody, Lordy. Turn me round, gonna keep on a walking, yeah, keep on a talking, yeah, marching up to freedom lane.
Ask the watchman how long.
How long?
How long,
watchman? How long?
Oh, ask me preacher. How long?
How long, watchman? How long?
Oh.
Howdy, hi, all. This is Alan Freed, the old king of the Moondoggers, and I'm a hearty welcome to all the thousands of friends in Northern Ohio, Missouri, Canada, Western New York, Western Pennsylvania,
so,
Virginia.
I played my last 11:30, game.
15 minutes from now, we'll be joining the Moondoggers. A colored woman named Rosa Parks. She used to move to the bank of a Montgomery bus.
Soviet military buildup in New Jersey. On the island of Cuba. Within the past week,
we're talking here. President Kennedy and Texas Governor John Connally were shot from ambush today.
Negroes they thought were passive have become lions inside their house, in their bed, in the kitchen, in their attic, in the basement.
Elvis Presley singing, I forgot to remember to forget her.
Marilyn Monroe died.
And Japan's battling war against communist rebels in South Vietnam.
One shot between the crisis and the
first time in the U.S.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? Is that possible?
We'll be right back.
dedicate this song to little Junior Parker, a cousin of mine that's gone on, but we'd like to kind of carry on in his name by saying,
come on in this house.
You know that we gonna have
mighty good time. Why don't you come on in this house? Why don't you come on in this house? Oh,
he's gonna dry you out.
Yes, he will. Why don't you come on in this house?
Somebody been staying away on right now. Somebody leave you alone
come
right
on
now.
In this house.
Thank you.
You're listening to We Were Here on PRI, Public Radio International.
Go forth here and now that the struggle for freedom is still alive, and the story of that struggle is still being told. We begin with guttural cries and wrenching moans and visceral groans and weary lament and silent tears. And how this grand people of African descent could transfigure such misery into joy and a sense of sustaining themselves against overwhelming odds. What a story, what a drama. Vicious theft from Africa. Pernicious passage to the New World America. Atrocious enslavement on ugly plantations. Yet in wooden churches on God-forsaken creeks, in makeshift churches, they would forge a connection with a biblical story.
Every child of God,
running for Jesus,
just like an automobile.
The first great art created in America. The spirituals proclaiming the good news in bad news situations. Connecting the sense of self against a society that told them they were nobody and no one. Keep keeping on was the theme. And then the painful laughter of the grand art. Blues themselves. The tragic comic sensibility of keep keeping on against the odds. Being down so long, the down don't worry us no more, and keep keeping on anyhow. Nothing like it in the world. Private agony and public misery could still not hold us back. We never allow misery to have the last word, even if all you could do is sing a song or a little moan. Or even crack a smile. Then the most sophisticated, the most refined art ever created, not just in America, but in the 20th century. Jazz itself. European instruments. New World African sensibility. The fusion of finding your own voice, but always in community, bouncing off against other voices to elevate the high quality of the collective performance of the quartet or the orchestra or the quintet or maybe just a solo. Too many geniuses to mention, but Armstrong and Ellington and Monk and Coltrane and Vaughan and Holiday will have to do just at the moment. And then rhythm and blues, mellow, the sharing of soothing sweetness. We thank Brother Derek Allen and his musical genius for providing contribution in the tradition of Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross, Curtis Mayfield, Aretha Franklin, and so many innumerable others. But then comes hip-hop, the greatest creative breakthrough in the last 25 years of the younger generation, fusing linguistic virtuosity with rhythmic velocity, something unprecedented as well as the other earlier developments in the history of not just black music, 20th century music, modern music, all connected to struggle for freedom. The music soothes our bruises. It caresses our bruises. It attempts to give us a foretaste of the freedom we so deeply want, even if we can experience it only for a moment. For a moment. For a moment. The struggle goes on. The story must be told and retold. Every generation must be connected to that story to be linked to that struggle for freedom. Come with us as we unfold the story and lay bare the drama. And lay bare the drama.
Told to mourn it, we must know that it was a noble sound. It had majesty. Yes, it was majestic. Deep down in the soul of it all, the notes themselves provide the level of revelation we can only expect of great art. It formed a bridge. That's right, a bridge. Bridge that stretched from the realm of dreams to the highways and byways and thoroughfares and backroads of action. To be even more precise, let me say that this sound was itself an action. like a knight, wrapped in the glistening armor of invention, of creativity, of integrity, of grace, of sophistication, of soul. This sound took the field. It arrived when the heart was like a percussively throbbing community, suffering the despair imposed by dragons. Now, if a dragon thinks it is grand enough, that dragon will try to make you believe that what you need to carry you through the inevitable turmoil that visits human life is beyond your grasp. If that dragon thinks it is grand enough, it will try to convince you that there is no escape, no release, no salvation from its wicked dominion. It will tell you that you are destined to live your life in the dark. But when a majestic sound takes the field, when it parts the waters of silence and noise with the power of song, oh, when this majestic concatenation of rhythm, harmony, and melody assembles itself in the invisible world of music, ears begin to change and lives begin to change, and those who are musically lame begin to walk with a charismatic sophistication to their steps. You see, when something is pure, when it has the noblest regions as its fundamental purpose, then it will become a candle of sound in the dark cave of silence. Oh, yes, it was a noble sound. I say that it was a noble sound because we are told today that this great sound is dead. We are told that because it did not co-sign the ignoble proclivities of the marketplace, because it did not lie back and relax in the dungeon with riffraff, because it had an attitude of gut bucket grandeur, and because it sought to elevate through elegance. For all of these things, it has died for some a most welcome death. But we must understand that the moneylenders of the marketplace have never, ever known the difference between an office or an auction block. They have never, ever known the difference between the place where bodies were sold and the place where souls were saved. They have never known that there was any identity to anything other than that of a hustle, a shuck, a scam, a game. If you listen to them, they'll tell you that everything is always up for sale. They recognize no difference or distance between the sacred and the profane. For them, everything is fair game to be used in their game. Oh, they chuckle when they hear that the coffin for this noble sound has been built. They offer to donate more nails. They send bouquets instead of wreaths. They feel this sound began to outlive its usefulness the moment it could no longer be abused in the world of prostitution. That world where the beautiful and wondrous act of intimate romance and procreation is reduced to one pitiful fact, a sham ritual in which the customer's appetite for lies is equaled by the prostitute's willingness to tell those lies in whatever detail he is ready to pay for. Tones of lies are vulgar facts, but they are not noble sounds. Oh, but there is another truth, and that truth passes through time in the very same way that an irresistible force passes through an immovable object. That's what I said. This truth is so irresistible that it passes through immovable objects. It is the truth of a desire for a refined and impassioned portrait of the presence and the power and the possibilities of the human spirit. Can you imagine that? A desire for the refined and impassioned depiction in music of the presence and the power and the possibilities of the human spirit. That is the desire that lights the candle in the darkness. That is the desire that confounds dragons who think themselves so grand. We have heard the striking of the match and have felt ourselves made whole in the glow of the candle for a long, long time. possible that we who listened heard something timeless from those who are the descendants of the many who were literally up for sale, those whose presence on the auction blocks and in the slave quarters formed the cross upon which the Constitution of this nation was crucified. Yet, even after that crucifixion, there were those who rose in the third century of American slavery with a vision of freedom. There were those who lit the mighty wick that extended from the candle and carried it. There were those who spoke through music of the meaning of light. Those who were not content to accept the darkness in the heart that comes when you surrender to dragons who think themselves grand. There were those who said, "Listen closely now." Those who said, "If you give me a fair chance, I will help you better understand the meaning of democracy." Yes, that is precisely what they said. "If you give me a fair chance, I will help you better understand the meaning of democracy." These are they who were truly the makers of a noble sound. But as we mourn the passing of this noble sound, we are told to accept the idea that no longer are those blessed who are endowed with majestic inclinations. We are told that no longer are those blessed who have the intentions of refining those majestic inclinations into rhythm and tune. If we accept that, however, we just might find ourselves ignoring the democratic imperatives of our birthright. We might fail to understand what was meant way back in the day when the sun of liberty had been cloaked by the ignoble practice of slavery. We might fail to understand that those living in the dragon's shadow of bondage fashioned a luminous and mighty chariot that could swing low and carry us back to the home of all human hope, which is heroism. I say heroism because it is ever the quality of bravery, of devotion, of the will to nobility that underscores the marvelous phrases of this music. It swung low, and it swung upward, and it wore wings. It knew that its shining armor would fit it well, because it tried that armor on at the gates of slavery's hell. It was the ethereal aerodynamics of musical art in America. It was democratic, because it proved over and over that the sound of human glory knows no social limitations, that the sound of human glory has no concern with pigmentation, that the sound of human glory transcends all definitions except those of the human soul itself. Without a doubt, it was a noble sound. Some people might ask, what is this man doing talking about nobility? Doesn't he know that this is a dragon-spawned and blood-encrusted century? Doesn't he know that the dragon breath of our time is breathing down the neck of the year 2000? Doesn't he know that this is the era of flash and cash? I will say to them that the interwoven labyrinths of greed and manipulation are as old as the first lie. When you lie, you are trying to manipulate. And when you try to manipulate, especially for false profit, you reveal your greed. And when you swallow that dragon dust cooperatively, you reveal yourself as a chump and a sucker. One of those folk P.T. Barnum said was born every minute. But I will answer them also by saying that nobility is always born somewhere out there in the world. And when you live in a democratic nation, you have to face the mysterious fact that nobility has no permanent address. You have to face the fact that nobody has nobility's private phone number, even though nobility is not listed in the phone book. Nobility is not listed in the society column. Nobility shows up where it feels like showing up, and where it feels like showing up might be just about anywhere. If it could rise like a mighty light from among the human livestock of the plantation, you know it can come from anywhere it wants to. You see, nobility is listed, though. Yes, it is listed. Nobility lists itself in the human spirit, and its purpose is to enlist the ears of the listeners and the bittersweet song of spiritual concerns. As we gather here to mourn the passing of this noble sound, we should take the pains to remember something. There are some of us who don't accept the dreams of dragons as their own, no matter how grand those dragons might say they are. Yes, there are some who will refuse to drop the candle even when pushed into a dark cave and locked there behind a stone. Don't forget the people like Duke Ellington who will not leave the field once it becomes obvious that the sound of a cymbal swinging in celebration is more beautiful than the ringing of a cash register. Remember that there are those who, like Duke, are willing to face the majesty of their heritage and endure the slow, painful development demanded of serious study. There is, you must recall, a kind of serious study that will give you the confidence to strike your match to the mighty wick that will illuminate yet another portion of the darkness. Out there somewhere are the kind of people who do not accept the premature autopsy of a noble art form. These are the ones who follow in the footsteps of the gifted and the disciplined, who have been deeply hurt but not discouraged, who have been frightened but who have not forgotten how to be brave, who revel in the company of their friends and sweethearts but who are willing to face the loneliness that is demanded of mastery. In order to carry the candle, you have to accept the fact that when the wax on that candle begins to melt, it will slide down and burn your hand. You must be willing to accept the fact that pain is a part of the process of revelation. You have to be willing to take the field and stay on the field the way Duke stayed on the road, traveling in raggedy cars, traveling in private Pullman railroad cars, traveling by bus, traveling by boat, traveling against his will sometimes in airplanes. Duke accepted all the pain and the agony and the self-doubt and the disappointment he was faced with because he had been inspired. Duke was inspired by the majesty he heard coming from the musicians of all hues and from all levels of training. Duke heard the constitutional orchestra of American life and transformed it into musical form. Whenever they said this music was dead, Duke was out there writing music and performing the meaning of his democratic birthright in an artistic language that uttered its first words way back on that first day when a slave sang a new song in this new and strange land. I am here to tell you that there are some who do not accept the premature autopsy of a noble art form. There are some of us out here who are on a quest, and in the process of that quest, who find ourselves having to perform conquests. There are some of us out here who believe that the majesty of human life demands an accurate rendition in rhythm and tune. Duke performed with Sidney Bechet, with Louis Armstrong, with Coleman Hawkins, with Charlie Parker, with John Coltrane, and wrote music for almost all of them. His own orchestra was described by Mahalia Jackson as a sacred institution. The Duke Ellington Orchestra was the manifestation of the elaborately fabricated drum that Duke called this music. He was dedicated without reservation. He knew that you have to listen to a noble sound. You see, you have to watch out for a tradition built on the intention of putting noble inclinations into rhythm and tune. You have to beware of premature autopsies. A noble sound might not lie still in the dark cave where the dragons have taken it. A noble sound might just rise up and push away the stones that were placed in its path. A noble sound might just rise up on the high side of the sky. It might just ring the silver bells of musical light that tear through the cloak of the dragon's shadow which blocked the sun. You got to watch those early autopsies. A noble sound is a mighty thing. It can mess around and end up swinging low and swinging high and flapping its wings in a rhythm that might swoop up over the limitations imposed by the dreams of dragons. I said you better check those autopsies. A noble sound, the birthright understood so clearly by Duke Ellington just might swing low and it might tell you to get on board. It might move with so much grace and so much confidence that you will have to remember what I've been telling you. You had better not pay much attention to those premature autopsies. This noble sound, this thing of beauty, this art so battered but so ready for battle, it just might lift you high enough in the understanding of human life to let you know in no uncertain terms why that marvelous Washingtonian, Edward Kennedy Ellington, never, never came off the road.
Yes, I have a dream this afternoon. One day in this land, the words of Amos will become real. And justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I have a dream this evening that one day we will recognize the words of Jefferson that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I have a dream this afternoon. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day, and with this faith, I will go out and carve a tunnel of hope through the mountain of despair. With this faith, I will go out with you and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. With this faith, we will be able to achieve this new day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing with the Negroes in the spiritual of all, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty.
We Were Here was produced by Lee Hay and underwritten by WVXU and the X-Star Radio Network. Support for We Were Here comes from this station and Public Radio International stations nationwide and is made possible in part by the PRI Program Fund, whose contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
PRI, Public Radio International.